RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia targets 12 million foreign tourists in 2016. KPU chief, no more campaigning for delayed elections. Now the news in detail. Indonesian government expects to generate $12 billion in revenue from 12 million foreign tourists visiting the country next year. On the back of promotional events across Asia, Europe, and Middle East, the figure is a 20% increase on the 10 million foreign visitors the government expects this year. It hit the 8 million mark at the end of October. In 2014, Indonesia attracted 9.44 million foreign tourists. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said that his office would increase its collaboration with travel agents, airlines, travel businesses, and the media to continue the wonderful Indonesia tourism promotion campaign next year. The government has booked spots at prominent tourism exhibitions including ITB Berlin, WTM London, WTM Dubai, CTM China, Natus Singapore, Mata Malaysia, and Chieta Japan, all to bolster the country's appeal in its main overseas markets. The tourism ministry will also arrange junkets for foreign travel agents, prominent bloggers, and the media to get them to promote Indonesia in their home countries. The government has removed visa requirement for visitors from 47 countries as it seeks to boost tourism numbers, and it's set to nearly double that figure with the additional countries. Indonesia's General Election Commission, KPU, said it will not allow current and future candidates participating in the 5 delayed regional elections to conduct additional campaigning, warning violators of possible sanctions. The KPU put a halt to voting in 5 regions, namely Central Kalimantan, Manado City in North Sulawesi, the North Sumatran districts of Pematang Siantar and Simalungun, and Fakfak district in Papua, during the December 9th simultaneous regional elections due to ongoing legal challenges from disqualified candidates. KPU Chairman Husni Kamil Manik emphasized that even if the disqualified candidates are still allowed to run, they will not be allowed to do any campaigning because the period to do so ended in early December. The KPU will also tone down its own voting campaign, namely to get people to vote in the delayed elections, arguing that the agency has nearly exhausted its entire budget for the elections. Any remaining funds, Husni said, will be focused on paying elections and security officials at polling station unless more money is provided by the affected local governments. Indonesia's stock exchange mechanism for inviting small and medium-sized enterprises to sell shares and initial public offerings is ineffective, as problems associated with the mechanism have yet to be solved. Consequently, very few small and medium enterprises have joined the market in the last 8 years. Finance Deputy at the Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Ministry, Hoirul Jamhahari said that since small and medium enterprises had been allowed to enter the market, only 7 of them had listed themselves on the stock market. He said in Jakarta on Thursday that discussion of listing small and medium enterprises on the stock market has been stuck on technical and non-technical problems that continues to exist until now. The technical problems exist on the regulatory side, since the raised funds are not significant. Regulators suggest that small and medium enterprises invest instead of issue in the market. Meanwhile, the non-technical problems exist on the side of small and medium enterprises. According to Hoirul, they have yet to embrace a transparency culture and are thus reluctant to expose their financial data publicly. The small and medium enterprises are also often concerned about losing control of the company. Jember Airport closed until January. Noto Hadinegoro Airport in Jember, East Java, was closed starting 7:30 a.m. on Thursday, December the 31st, until January the 1st, 2016, due to volcanic ashes of Mount Bromo. Acting Chief of Engineering Noto Hadinegoro Airport, Edi Purnomo, said that he already received a notice to airmen or NOTAM on the closing of Noto Hadinegoro Airport beginning on Thursday, December the 31st, 2015, until 7:30 a.m. on Friday, January the 1st, 2016. To airlines including Garuda Indonesia, Jember-Surabaya round-trip route, and Susi Air Jember-Sumenep round-trip route cancelled their flights. Edi said the NOTAM on Jember Airport closing could be extended based on the conditions and reports from several competent parties to authorize safe flight routes. However, the airport is not affected by volcanic ashes. Noto Hadinegoro Airport Jember has been shut down for several times due to volcanic ashes from Mount Raung and Mount Baru Jari throughout 2015. To develop small and micro businesses, 25 banks have been approved to take part in the government-supported People's Business Credit Micro Loan Program with a total target of 120 trillion rupiahs or $8.67 billion loan disbursement this year. In 2015, only 3 state-owned banks, BRI, BNI, and Bank Mandiri, took part in the program. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution said on Thursday at a press conference that the government had set a target of disbursing 30 trillion rupiahs in microloans this year, but total disbursement reached only 21.4 trillion rupiahs, saying that the government is allowing other banks to be involved in the program as long as they are in a healthy condition with a maximum 5% of non-performing loans in the microloan sector. Darmin added that the banks must have a debit portfolio to micro, small, and medium enterprises of at least 5% of total credit. Minister Darmin said the government also intended to assess non-bank financial institutions and select 2 or 3 of them to participate in the program with requirements defined by the Financial Authority Services. Last item, National Police Spokesman Inspector General Anton Harlian said that 2 terrorist suspects arrested in Laweyan, Solo, Central Java are Islamic State or IS supporters. They are linked to the terrorist suspected arrested in Bekasi in December the 23rd, all under one leadership, a person named BN. According to Anton, BN is an Indonesian living in Syria. The suspects in Solo and Bekasi are linked to some people in Syria. Head of Public Relations, Senior Commissioner Suharsono, said he cannot yet confirm if the 2 suspects are related to Abu Jundi, a.k.a. Abdul Karim's network in Tasikmalaya, West Java. Jundi helps to endorse Indonesian living to Syria. Currently, the Special Detachment 88 keeps carrying out their operation against terrorists. Suharsono added that terrorists are likely to hide in an open neighborhood. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia targets 12 million foreign tourists in 2016. KPU chief, no more campaigning for delayed election. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, this is commentary entitled Endemic of Ebola is Over. I'm Rahmawati. If in the north of the African continent there is a dispute that we don't know when it will end, good news as year-end gift comes from the western part of the African continent. The World Health Organization announced officially on December 29, 2015, to the media in Geneva that the spread of Ebola virus in Guinea is over. This statement was made because 42 days have passed since the last confirmed Ebola virus proved negative after undergoing a second test. This puts an end to a virus attack that has no special cure. Spreading from Guinea in December 2013, and it spread almost the entire region of West Africa, including Liberia and Sierra Leone. Both countries have declared Ebola free before Guinea. Head of the World Health Organization representative in Guinea, Dr. Mohamed Belhosin, said, "The government and people of Guinea have obtained significant achievement by the end of Ebola." The organization side will keep on assisting Guinea during the next 90 days to monitor and seek to strengthen basic health services during 2016. This is also reinforced by the World Health Organization Regional Director for Africa, Dr. Matshidiso Muti, who praised the steps taken by the government of three states, Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, to put an end to the spread of the Ebola virus. Dr. Muti stated that during the quiet period, there were still 10 attacks of small Ebola during March to November 2015. The World Health Organization should keep an eye to prevent further attacks in 2016. Why should Ebola be watched for? Among the victims who survived from the attack and who are free of the virus in their blood, the virus is still alive for 9 to 12 months in the sperm cells of the male victims who survive. During 2016, a major agenda has been waiting three countries that were most affected by Ebola. The three governments should implement a recovery program and key program help, especially children and mothers. They must also be prepared to detect, prevent, and respond in case of a sudden attack of Ebola. Based on the World Health Organization data, until December 20, 2015, there were more than 11,000 people died of Ebola attack. More than 4,800 people were killed in Liberia, and nearly 4,000 people were killed in Sierra Leone. Meanwhile, more than 2,500 people were killed in Guinea, as original country of Ebola attack, and 8 people died in Nigeria. Earlier, the government of Guinea considered poverty as the main source of the spread of Ebola, and people did not fully trust the health services provided by the government. Since his re-election in October, President of Guinea, Alpha Conde, as head of state, has allocated more health funds. Of course, we are delighted with the end of Ebola attack in West Africa, because it reduces the threat of the spread of this virus in several other countries, including in Indonesia. However, the World Health Organization warns that other countries remain to be vigilant, because the virus is still alive in surviving people with Ebola attack, at least during the next 90 days. Being alert should be a main concern to other countries that also experience another virus attack such as MERS and the Middle East that has not been officially declared over. Well, listener, that's commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event on January 1, 1990, T.B. Simatupang passes away. Lieutenant General retired Tahi Bonar Simatupang, or more commonly known as T.B. Simatupang, is an Indonesian national hero. Simatupang was appointed by President Sukarno as the Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces of the Republic of Indonesia, or KASAP, after the great Commander General Sudirman died in 1950. He became the Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces, or KASAP, until 1953. KASAP position in the organizational hierarchy at that time was on Chief of Army Staff, Chief of Naval Staff, Chief of Staff of the Air Forces, and is under the responsibility of the Minister of Defense. Simatupang died on January 1, 1990, in Jakarta, and was buried at Kalibata Hero Cemetery. On November 8, 2013, President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono gave the title of National Hero to T.B. Simatupang. The current name is also immortalized as one of the major streets in the name of Cilandak, South Jakarta. On January 1, 1984, Soekarno-Hatta International Airport is officially opened. Soekarno-Hatta International Airport is a major airport which serves flights in Indonesia. The airport is named inappropriate to the characters' name of proclamators of the Indonesian independence, Soekarno and Muhammad Hatta, who are also become the first president and vice president of Indonesia. The airport replacing Kemayoran Airport and Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta. The airport was designed by French architect Paul Andrew, who also designed the Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, France. One of the major characteristics of the airport is the local architectural style and tropical gardens in the long of waiting area. Soekarno-Hatta International Airport has 180 check-in counters, 42 baggage, and 45 gates. We conclude the segment of Today in History with the next event on January 1, 1995. The World Trade Organization, WTO, is established. The World Trade Organization, WTO, is an intergovernmental organization which regulates international trade. The WTO officially commenced on January 1, 1995, under the Americas Agreement, signed by 123 nations on 15 of April 1994, replacing the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, or GATT, which commenced in 1948. Most of the issues that the WTO focuses on derive from previous trade negotiations, especially from the Uruguay Round 1986 to 1994. The WTO is attempting to complete negotiations on the Doha Development Round, which was launched in 2001 with an explicit focus on developing countries. As of June 2012, the future of the Doha Round remained uncertain. The work program lists 21 subjects in which the original deadline of January 1, 2005 was missed, and the round is still incomplete. The conflict between free trade on industrial goods and services, but retention of protectionism on farm subsidies to domestic agricultural sector, and the substantiation of fair trade on agricultural products remain the major obstacles. This impasse has made it impossible to launch new WTO negotiations beyond the Doha Development Round. As a result, there have been an increasing number of bilateral free trade agreements between governments. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. Today's edition will take you to inform solidarity of working cabinet is increased. Listener, chaos caused by a dispute between cabinet members during last 1 year is expected to end soon. The ministers under the command of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala should improve the solidity that the government's performance in 2016 could be more effective. Cabinet solidarity is a prerequisite for the government to work effectively. Deputy Chairman of the National Mandate Party PAN, Bara Hasibuan, said while delivering year-end reflection at the head office of PAN DPP PAN in Jakarta Tuesday, December 29th, PAN announced beginning in 2016 the solidity of the cabinet should be increased. Cabinet solidarity is important because PAN viewed during 2015 there were disputes between ministers and parties outside of government. The dispute caused chaos and uncertainty among the public. The condition is exacerbated by the ministers who are more concerned with imaging. They are busy looking for popularity by creating a sensation. As a result, the government do not work optimally. When asked what steps should be taken to increase the solidity of the cabinet, he said President Joko Widodo knows better solution. If there is a reshuffle, Bara Hasibuan suggested that President Joko Widodo selecting the appropriate cabinet members. The ministers who will be chosen should the persons who have a strong desire to build the state. He emphasized that the advice was not the impetus for the president to reorganize the cabinet, nor urged the president to accommodate the PAN cadres became minister. PAN political party supporters joined the government because they want to assist the government in building the nation. The red and white coalition is not worried about the plan of cabinet reshuffle that popular at the end of the year. Deputy Secretary General of Indonesia Movement Party Gerindra, Andre Rosiade, said the inclusion of the National Mandate Party into the government will not make the position of parties in parliament is getting more vacant. According to Andre, the will of position will remain going on because the proposal of opposition parties in the red and white coalition, namely Gerindra, PKS, the United Development Party, and Golkar, are aimed to promote the nation. The same thing was stated by Vice Chairman of the Shura Council of PKS, Hidayat Nur Wahid. Nur Wahid stated, he remains become an opposition and respect to other political parties that join with the government. However, he reminded President Joko Widodo to choose professional sides if the reshuffle volume 2 accord. Chairman of Golkar Central Board of Abu Rizal Bakri Version, Firman Subagio, said his party still become an opposition and respect to the decision of President Joko Widodo on the reshuffle issue since it is the prerogative rights of President. Meanwhile, member of the House of Representatives DPR from Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle PDIP, Masinton Pasaribu, said in 1 year, 2 months, the Jokowi government foundation looks not sturdy yet. Listener, that was Focus.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. Indonesian government expects to generate $12 billion in revenue from 12 million foreign tourists visiting the country next year on the back of promotional events across Asia, Europe, and the Middle East. Indonesia's General Election Commission, KPU, said it will not allow current and future candidates participating in the 5 delayed regional election to conduct additional campaigning, warning violators of possible sanctions. Indonesia's stock exchange mechanism for inviting small and medium-sized enterprises to sell shares via an initial public offering is ineffective as problems associated with the mechanism have yet to be solved. Noto Hadinegoro Airport in Jember, East Java, was closed starting 7:30 a.m. on Thursday, December 31st, until today, January 1st, 2016, due to volcanic ashes of Mount Bromo. To develop small and micro businesses, 25 banks have been approved to take part in the government-supported People's Business Credit Microloan Program with a total target of 120 trillion rupiahs or around $8.67 billion from disbursement this year. National Police Spokesman Inspector General Anton Harlian said that two terrorist suspects arrested in Lawean Solo, Central Java, are Islamic State ISIS supporters. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Yogyakarta. Stay tuned. Listener, the Culture and Tourism Office of Sleman, Yogyakarta, at the end holiday, offers tours of cultural nuances in a number of destination and tourist villages. For instance, during the New Year's Eve on December 31st, 2015, Kaliurang tourism areas will be celebrated with fireworks, attractions, and carnival culture. At least 10 cultural communities on the slopes of Merapi. Then the Penjor or Yellow Coconut Festival and Lantern Festival, held along the streets in the area of Kaliurang, began on December 20th, 2015 until New Year's Eve 2016 and was followed by the local people. Listener, Kaliurang Tourism Area is the main point of the celebration of the New Year in Sleman, Yogyakarta. The area was, for a long time, even since the Dutch colonial period, has been known as a tourism area. In the 19th century, the Dutch geologists in Yogyakarta looking for a resting place for their families. When they arrived at Kaliurang, they were fascinated by the beauty and coolness. The Dutch geologists then was built bungalows in Kaliurang. After the Dutch left Indonesia, Kaliurang still used as a resting place. Many companies and private institutions set up homestead in Kaliurang, then rented out to the wider community. After getting crowded and growing, Kaliurang finally has various tourist facilities. Located at 900 meters above sea level, makes the Kaliurang air cool and fresh. From Kaliurang Merapi Peak Evident, traveling in Kaliurang, you can play in ground. Recreation ground could be a favorite place for children. Recreation ground is located 28 kilometers from the city center. This area presents a very beautiful scenery. The park is the extent of 10,000 square meters. Here, there are many toys such as swings, slides, a mini swimming pool, and others. Interestingly, the park is decorated by statues of mythical genii, 1001 Nights. Fun to play at recreation ground. Do not forget to stop in Pelawangan Turgo Tourism Area. Approximately 300 meters to the northeast of the recreation park, there is Pelawangan Turgo Tourism Park. In the area of this park, there is a Telogo Putri swimming pool that water comes from springs on the slopes of Mount Pelawangan. Interestingly, in this tourism area, you can swim while enjoying the beautiful natural surroundings. In addition to natural beauty, Kaliurang also stores a wealth of history. For example, Ulen Santalu Museum. Museum located in the basement also contains many mysteries of the culture and values of Javanese history, especially those related to the Javanese palace. Listener, in addition to various recreational areas, a variety of other facilities available in the ground. Among others, the train rabbits, viewing post, observation post Merapi, campsite, and houses of worship. If you want to stay overnight, there are also a variety of lodgings. The entrance fee to Kaliurang only 2,000 for adult and 1,000 rupiah for children. On holidays, 3,000 rupiah adult and 1,500 rupiah for children. For vehicles are also charged an entrance fee of 500 rupiah for motorcycles and 2,000 rupiah for cars, 3,000 rupiah for buses or trucks. Kaliurang tourist area located in the northern part of the Yogyakarta province, 25 kilometers from the city of Yogyakarta. Precisely, it is located in Hargobinangun village, Pakem sub-district, Sleman Regency, Yogyakarta. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, entitled Kaliurang Tourism Area, Yogyakarta. See you next time.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today, we present you the history of trumpet. Trumpet is a metal wind instrument. Every New Year celebration, trumpets made of carton and paper are usually sold out. Blowing trumpet is an old tradition which has existed in New Year celebration all over the world, including Indonesia. In Indonesia, trumpet is one of important instruments to celebrate New Year. Blowing trumpet is a Jewish culture when welcoming their New Year, which falls on the 7th month in Tishri calendar system, although after that they celebrate it in January since the authorization of ancient Roman nation in 63 before Christ. Since then, they followed Julian calendar, which then changed into Gregorian calendar. On the New Year's Eve, Jewish people do self-introspection by blowing shofar, musical instrument like a trumpet. The sound of shofar is similar to the sound of paper trumpet blown by Indonesians on the New Year's Eve. Trumpet itself is predicted to have existed since 1500 before Christ. At first, this musical instrument was used for religious ritual and for military, especially when they would war. Then it has become a musical instrument since the mid-period of Renaissance until now. This trumpet blowing tradition was actually a way of ancient people to repel devil. Jewish people did that as a ritual to describe God when destroying the world. They did this ritual on Jewish New Year, which means trumpet great day in Taurat or Torah New Year. The sound of trumpet is usually incomplete without firecracker and firework. Like trumpet blowing, this tradition is a ritual to repel devil in Chinese tradition. Besides, firecracker is believed to bring fortune. Well, VOI listener, that was miscellany for today on the history of trumpet. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you a dangdut singer who was popular in 80s, and even until now, his songs are still familiar to dangdut music lovers in Indonesia, from the old to the young generation. He is Meggy Z. To begin the program, let's listen to a song by Meggy Z entitled Gubuk Bambu or Bamboo Hut. Happy listening. Maggie Zakaria, or known as Maggie Z, was born in Jakarta, August 24, 1945. He passed away in Depok, West Java, on October 21, 2009, at the age of 64. Besides singing dangdut, Maggie Z was also known as an actor in some sinetron or soap opera and films. Maggie Z began his career as a dangdut singer in 1968, but he started gaining fame in 1981 by composing songs. Maggie Z rose to fame after singing a song composed by Obi Mesak entitled Lebih Baik Sakit Gigi, or Better to Have Toothache. Well, listener, now we present you one song by Maggie Z called Berakhir Pula, or Finally Ends. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Listener, although the dangdut musician Maggie Zett has gone, his songs remain enjoyable by dangdut lovers in the country, like Jatuh Bangun or Rise and Fall, which has been covered by a dangdut female singer, Christina, and a band, Tiket, that rearranged the song into rock music. Alright, listener, to end the program, we play you a song by Maggie Zett called Tiada Berdaya or Powerless. Enjoy the song and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Hatiku sedang rindu, pada siapa ku mengadu. Dalam hati bertanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku. Akan ku cari walau kemana, kini aku berkelana. Ke ujung dunia akan ku cari. Kalau hatiku sedang rindu, pada siapa ku sedang rindu, pada siapa ku mengadu. Dalam hati bertanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku. Akan ku cari walau kemana, kini aku berkelana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.